Wednesday the 7th of January, Yud Aleph Teves, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Understanding Chodesh Teves.
So, the last 3 days, Ches, Tes, and Yud Teves, are described as difficult days, days of sorrow, and it seems to, since it's three in a row, which is a chazakah, it seems to establish Chodesh Teves as being a negative month. Yet, we know that Teves starts with Hanukkah. And in fact, in some years, the rove of the neighbors that we light are lit in the month of Teves, depends on Chosar and Mole. But it would seem, therefore, that it starts out well. Somehow it all goes wrong. Somehow, during the Chodesh, things are undone. And beyond that, it also means that Teves is somehow a study in contrast. It is. It seems to have different koches, different elements to the Chodesh itself. Perhaps the best place to understand Chodesh Teves is in the previous month, Kislev, with which it shares the Yontif of Hanukkah, and therefore there has to be a shaychus between the two. Tzadok HaKohen explains that the word Kislev means betochen. He points this out. There are various psukim in Tanakh. There's one in Iyov and another one here in Mishle, where it says Ki Hashem yieh bekislecho, to which Rashi says b'mivtachecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there as a betochen for you, as a security for you, the shomar raglecho milochet, to prevent you from falling. And it is an understanding that the avoda of the Chodesh of Kislev is to know that even though there is a nisayon, even though we do go through times where the days are getting shorter, it's still a process where the nights are getting longer. However, if we have, call it the emuna, call it the mesiras nefesh, there will be a nitzochim in this chodesh. That is, the seif ha-chodesh is a chodesh which ends with nitzochim. And not only is this relevant to the chodesh in terms of the yomim tovim, it's also relevant to all of those things which parallel this Chodesh. We know that each one of the Chodoshim is relevant to a particular Shevet. And according to the Ari and the Grol, it's Seder Chaniyoson and the Seder Nasiyah that they had in the Midbar, which means that the Shevet of Kislev is the Shevet of Binyamin, about which it is said in Parshas Zeis HaBrocha that Yishkoin Lovetach, that the Chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never be removed from Binyamin. And the simon of this Chodesh, the symbol of this Chodesh, is the Keshet, is the bow. And the Ramban, other Meforshim, explain why was that used as the symbol of the brit at the time of the Mabul, because as we know from the Pasuk, it means that B'yisoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that there should be a destruction, there should be a churban that comes to the world. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep his word, the brit that he has made, and come what may, there will not be this churban, even though the matzav really Mitzad HaYesha would seem to require a Churban happening now. And the concept of the Keshet is that the circle is, you have half of the circle, and the circle is the upper half. It is the Chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Chelik is in place. Hagam, our Chelik is missing. And it's not necessarily that you need the entire, even Mitzad Halacha, in order to say the bracha, you don't need the full half circle, because the way a circle is formed, as soon as you have the smallest unit of a circle, you can already figure out the exact curve of the circle. You just replicate that chelik over and over again. As soon as you have the smallest part, you already have, so to speak, the bris in place. That's what the symbol of the keshes is. And in terms of what has happened to Klal Yisrael in Chodesh Tevet, we find in Perek Tes Yud Aleph in Sefer Ezra. Ezra comes back to the second Beis HaMikdash, comes back in Chodesh Av, but it is only in Kislev that he manages to bring about the Hatzlacha of bringing an end to the Kehanim being intermarried. They were married to non-Jews, and through Ezra's act of public tshuva and being Mo'erer Klal Yisrael, he brings about a reversal, and he brings about a situation where they divorce their wives, which carries on over the next few months. And therefore, all of these things point to the fact that Chodesh Kislev is a time where there will be a Netzachon at the end, and it revolves around the concept of having, or there being, emunah in place. But it's only temporary. It's something that takes place, but it is like a flash of lightning. It is there for the moment, just like the Netzachon of Chanukah itself, which didn't last. They were, in the short term, even in the war against the Yevonim, there would be another 23 years of war which would be fought. When we celebrate Chanukah and Chof Hei Kislev in the year 3597, there were another 23 years of the war left, and four out of the five sons of Matisyahu would be killed after Chanukah. So really it seems like quite a premature time to celebrate. What is going on here is that we're being shown Min HaShamayim for a short amount of time a victory, and then eventually they would be kicked out of Yerushalayim again, and they would have to fight for nearly a quarter of a century. But it is a more than just a respite. It's a clear nes. The reason the Gemara talks about Esther being Soif Kol HaNisim is because that's a permanent nes. It says that the Purim will never be mevutal. As opposed to Chanukah, it is something that gives us the ability to carry on, shows us clearly Yad Hashem, Hashkoch HaElyona, B'derach Nes, not B'derach Teva, but it's temporary. And therefore, once we get to Chodesh Teves, things change. That temporary Nitzachon that we have comes to an end. And it is seen most clearly in Ezra himself. There is a debate as to what exactly took place on Tes Teves, but the Loshon of the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, and also in the Slichos that we said yesterday, is that HaNosei Imrei Shefa, Ezra died on the 9th of Teves. What is the significance of marking Dafka Ezra's death? Plenty of other Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, who also Shomer Shabbos. Why don't we mark the day that they were Nifta? Why Dafka Ezra? Because Ezra is the last of the Nevi'im, and therefore the end of Tereshu B'Chasav happens when Ezra dies. It's the end of the Gilui of Tereshu B'Chasav. There can be no more Dvar Hashem directly. And as such, the Zohar says on the Posuk in Parsha Shmos, when Yecheved hides Moshe for 3 months, Shlosh Yerachim, says the Zohar, those 3 months that she hid him are the months of Tammuz, Av, and Teves. Now, aside from the fact that that can't be the case, because they're not 3 months in a row, and that none of those 3 months are the actual months where she hid him. It was Adar, Nisan, and Iyar. So what does the Zohar mean? Those are 3 months when Moshe, who is the Goyel, who is the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael, is hidden. Tammuz, Av, and Teves. And of the three, Teves is the worst. Because Tammuz and Av bring us to a time where, because we hit rock bottom on Tisha B'Av morning, from then on we're climbing upwards. The idea that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, it means that once you can go no further down, from now on every step you're taking is a step up. And hence we don't sit on a low chair anymore, and we have Tu B'Av, one of the greatest Yom Tovim that Klal Yisrael had. So Av actually reverses itself at some stage. But Teves is a time where the Golos gets to such a degree that it seems that, possibly we haven't even started how far Golos can take us. That's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Geula, being hidden for that amount of time. And Moshe, of course, is directly identified with Teresh B'Chsav, as is Ezra. They are the beginning and the end of Teresh B'Chsav. And we never get back to Teresh B'Chsav. It's not a temporary setback. When Ezra dies, it's the end of Teresh B'Chsav. It is closed. It's a closed era in the times of Klal Yisrael. We will never get back to that aspect of revelation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu of Nevuah. It never happens again. It's a permanent churban. And hence we find the Loshen in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah, can we see that? Masorah Yeshua, Yeshua is the Kenim is Nevi'im, Nevi'im Masorah Le'amshe Knesset HaGdolah. We find twice the term Mosa, Moshe handing it over, because there's a difference between what he had and what he gave over. He had Kol HaTorah Kula, says the Maharal, but he couldn't give over Kol HaTorah Kula. He was Mosar as much as Yeshua could take, as much as he could fill Yeshua with. And that carried on, Yeshua came to the Nevi'im. But then, when it came to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, there had to be a new Mesira, because these Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the safe Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, were not Nevi'im. Shimon HaTzadik L'moshel was not a Navi. And therefore what you handed over to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was limited, was less than had been handed over until that moment in time. And that's why the Mishnah mentions Nevi'im. Nevi'im are not part of the Mesirah per se. In fact, Lo Bashamayimi, Nevi'im can't have an input into Torah except for Ahirasha. So why are we mentioning the Nevi'im as part of the handing over of Torah? What we're saying is, while there was Nevuah in the world, the amount of Torah that a person was able to be shayach to understand, to absorb, the kelim that they had were far greater. Because somebody who has experienced Nevuah, or even who lives in a Torah where there is Nevuah, is able to be masig things which, if a person has never been given that vision, they cannot have that type of kelim. And therefore there was a new Masorah. The Meiri explained it was narrowing down of Torah that could be given over in the times of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So Teresh B'Chsav came to an end, and that takes place in Chodesh Teves. Of course we have Teresh Baal Peh to replace it until the Greeks, which is nearly immediately. Ezra dies and Shimon HaTzadik takes over from him. Is Mishiori Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Shimon HaTzadik already deals with Alexander the Great, but the Greeks, the Zera of Lashkichom Teirosecha, does not happen immediately. There was 150 years between the time that Shimon HaTzadik met Alexander the Great and Hanukkah. During that 150 years, so the first part, Klal Yisrael lived B'Sholem with the Greeks. But eventually there was an attempt by the Greeks to destroy Torah long before Hanukkah happened, because by the time Hanukkah happened we're talking about the Syrian Greeks. But even in the time of the Ptolemaic Greeks, the Egyptian Greeks, they brought about the Gezera of Ches Teves. They translated the Torah into Greek. What Torah are they therefore trying to make us forget? Ashkichon Teresh Secha, not Teresh B'Chsav, because they've just translated it. Forget. It's even more widely available than it was. But what they are now doing is disconnecting it from Teresh Baal Peh. You cannot have Teresh Baal Peh without all the remodim that lie in Teresh B'Chsav. The famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva Menachos, where he finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing ksorim on the osius of the Torah, all so that Rabbi Akiva can learn, can be derish tilei tilim shel halachos. It's all there to be able to extract Torah Shebal Peh from Torah Shebichsav. But once it's translated, it's a book in the library. And it becomes like any other. It also means that Torah is now in the hands of the God. That until now, the only way to learn Torah was through us. And now it's available. And that's right. And therefore, Ches Teves is also a gezerah against Torah. Right, as by the way, Yud Teves can see in Tetzei Torah, that was the chesaron of the siege of Yud Teves. These are all times when Torah is being diminished in levels chronologically. Ches, Tes, and Yud work in reverse order, Yud coming first, etc. And the outcome of the Greeks making us forget Torah is machlokes. The first time we have machlokes is Bepulmus Shel Yova, in the time, this is now referring nearer to the time of Chanukah itself, Yeshi Ben Yehezer, and the beginnings in Pirkei Avos of there being two manhigim. Until now, it's Shimon HaTzadik and Tignus Ish Seichai, but from the time of Bepulmus Shel Yova, you have two manhigim, the Avbezin and the Nossi. And from now on, the first machlekes is whether there's smicha beyond it from certain korbanos. From then on, machlekes comes into being because of the yavonim. And Rav Hutna asks the obvious question, therefore. He says, if that's the case, if they brought about machlekes in Torah, and that was the hashkicham Torah secha, that's the Torah that we now forget, in that case we never came out of that godless. In that case, all that happened is that the Golus got progressively worse, because there's more and more machlokes. So he says that what actually happened is that the leaders of Klal Yisrael took the makkah, took the gezerah of machlokes, and rather than bringing it to an end, because it hasn't come to an end, it's got worse, rather than bringing it to an end, they used it to bring about more terror. In other words, what they have now done through machlekes is establish, through on the lines of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, they have established more terror. That where the machlekes initially is a makkah, because it brings about confusion, but if we then fear eis the machlekes lahalacha, what we actually get is two levels of Torah, where there previously was only one. What this means, he explains, is that it's not a case where there was a gezerah, like with Bovel or with Poras, and it came to an end because the empire fell. The gezerah never comes to an end. We learn to take that gezerah and acquire kelim as to how to live with it. Machlokes does not come to an end, it gets worse. But we learn how to take machlokes and how to live with it and how to use it. The makkah becomes the refuah. And that is central to Chodesh Teves. Unlike Kislev, where there is a gezerah, but there's a geula. However temporary, it's a real geula, it's a nes. There's a reversal. That doesn't happen in Teves. In Teves, the golus continues. We just are able to acquire kelim to cope with it. The way this is most clearly seen is in the sedros, which are always chodesh teves. So miketz vayigash vayichi or vayigash vayichi and shemais are always the sedros of teves, and they are sedros of golus. So yes, it's true we finish off vayichi with brachos, but those brachos are given in golus. It's not pshat that in Vayigash, when Yosef reveals who he is, it's now happily ever after. Mopitom. Yaakov is told he has to go down to Mitzrayim, he has to go into Golus. So he's able to give brachos. What does that mean? He's able to give Klal Yisrael a way to survive Mitzrayim, a way to get through Golus. But you don't come out of Golus. And the classic, so to speak, is Yisimcha Alekim Kefraim Echim Menashe. The bracha, B'chol Yivarech Yisrael, the bracha which we give to our children, that they should grow up to be like Menashe and Ephraim. If we think about it, they are the only two people who are part of Klal Yisrael and Sefer Bereishis who never were in Eretz Yisrael. They were not born there, they did not spend a moment of their life in Eretz Yisrael. They were born into Golos and raised in Golos, and that's what we're saying, Yisimcha Alekim Kefraim Echim Menashe. Why? What type of bracha is that to give our children? What we're saying is they should have the kelim to learn how to overcome Golos. That's what Chodesh Tevis is about. And therefore, in the Sedrus, from the time in Parshas Vayeshev, where it says everything that Yosef did, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Matzliach, the life of Yosef, from there, for the next 2.5 Sedrus, 10 prokim, we do not find the Yud Kei Vav Kei. There is no mention of Yud Kei Vav Kei from 2/3 of the way through Parshas Vayeshev, 3/4 of the way through, until halfway through Parshas Vayechi. Where is it in Parshas Vayechi? Yishuoscha Ki Visi Hashem. When the bracha is being given to Shevet Dan. There is no Shem Havaya. There is no open revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment in time. Where does it come in? It comes in at a time where we're talking about Mashiach. Come back to that in a moment. But Begilui, there is no Shem Havaya. That's not what Chodesh Tevis is about. Which is why we also understand other events that take place in Chodesh Tevis. Firstly, on Rosh Chodesh, the Cheresh and the Mazger, the leadership of Klal Yisrael at the end of Bais Rishon were taken into Golus before the Churban. Before the Beis Hamikdash was actually destroyed, the elite and the Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael was taken to Babel already. Initially it seemed like a Churban. While there was still a Beis Hamikdash, they were already in Babel. But it allowed them to establish the ability to teach Torah in Golus. So the whole idea of them being taken early is to use the makkah of Golus to create the refuah for the rest of Klal Yisrael who were going to come a few years later. And similarly, towards the end of Tevis Machlekes, whether it was the 25th of Tevis, 21st of Tevis, different Gishtois, there was the day of Yom Grizim, Yom Har Grizim, where Shimon HaTzadik meets Alexander the Great, and he averts the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. So it's not a case where, once again, where happily ever after, the Greeks are in town, they rule over Klal Yisrael, but there is a stay of execution. There is, the Tzara has been avoided. And hence, the Shevet, spoken about the dates of this month and so to speak, the Koyach of this month. The Shevet of this month is the Shevet Don. When it comes to that Shevet, in this week's Sedrin Vayechi, so Yaakov says he is like the Nochosh Ali Derech, and then it says Yaakov thought that the descendant of Don, Shimshon, would be Moshiach. And he saw that he doesn't succeed, so he says, "Lishuoscha ki visi Hashem." It's not a tefillah. It's not pshat that Yaakov is davening, but rather Yaakov is defining the koyach of Don. How does Don keep on going when Shimshon dies? Because he has the koyach of Lishuoscha Ki Visi Hashem, of relying on the fact that there will eventually be, through a long, long Golus, there will be a Yeshua. That the safe, the end, in the short term, is a negative one. Shimshon dies. And the Ramban says, in this week's parasha, that Shimshon is the only one of the Shoftim who fell into the hands of the Goyim. It's Golus. There isn't a positive end to it. It's just that Shimshon's end, Chaskeni no, what he is able to do in his death is protect Klal Yisrael. Novi tells us that the protection that he afforded through his last act was greater than the protection he afforded during his lifetime. So he was able to bring about a continuation. They were able to survive the Golus even without him. But it wasn't something that ended positively per se. And hence, Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Megala the Kates. Yaakov Avinu wanted to bring about, so to speak, Mashiach. But Nistam Mimenu, what he could do is give them the Kalim to continue in Golus, which is Lishruos HaKivisi Hashem. And that is also the idea of the Shevet Dan being Ma'asif L'chala Machanais. The concept of taking something which is lost, you don't reunite it with its owner. It's Ad Droish HaChicha Oisei. It's still in your hands. That you have the ability that someday it will go back to where it's supposed to go. That's what Chodesh Tevis is about. To know that the Choshech that has come about will come to an end. And the Sfasemes says, you may Tevis him, you may Hester. They are hidden days. Ulachain hiktim horafur sha'alidei ha'neiris. We start the Chodesh, the refuah through the neiris. Because me'irim gam b'yumei choshech edu, they will burn even during the days which are dark. They are dark. They are days of choshech, but they give us the ability to know that eventually lishuas hakivisi Hashem. And this also explains a very interesting Gemara in Shabbos. And this is not the shevet of the month, nor the history of the month. But the simon, the symbol of the month, the goat, which is the symbol of Teves, very interesting Gemara in Shabbos. It says, Rav Zera Ashkach l'Rav Yehuda, davakoa pischa d'bei chamua. Rav Zera meets Rav Yehuda, v'chazia, d'hava v'dicha daite. He saw that Rav Yehuda was in a good mood. Whatever he would ask of Rabbi Yehuda would reply, would be able to give him the answer. So what does he ask? He sees that whatever he's able to ask of Rabbi Yehuda, he would receive the right answer. He says to him, "My tama is a maskin bereisha. Why do the goats go before the sheep?" And Rashi says, Maskin Baresh Adra Maholkas Baresh Ha'eda, they go at the front of the flock, and he says, Stam Izim Shchairis, Stam Rucheles Levonis. The Izim goats are dark, and Rucheles, Stam Rucheles, when you refer to them, they are white. Says the Marashah, that Nira Diniskavnu, because there are three questions there altogether. Nira diniskavnu b'cholze l'dvarim hamagim l'terah b'derach moshel. Talking about Torah. What are we talking about? He says, Malchus Yovan nimshal le'ez. The Greeks are compared to the goat. And the question is that they are the ones who ruled first. They are the choshech al pnei tahim. And this is Yovan shehechshicha einayim. That darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Why is it that they go first? Why is it that they are able to have the first rule rather than Klal Yisrael? So Rabbi Yehuda answered, because that's the Seder of Briyas Ha'olam. It says, Vayhi Erev Vayhi Voker. That the way the world was created is that darkness comes first, and then eventually the end of the second pasuk of Bereishis is Baruch Aleikim Merach Efes Al Pnei Amayim. That only comes at the end. But first, when we define the Oretz, there's Toyu, Voyu, Cheshech Al Pnei Tahayim. And only then do we get the light. So that's the idea of Chodesh Tevis, where it leads us. It leads us to this idea that eventually there will be an outcome. And therefore, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about Adam HaRishon, he saw that the days were getting shorter, and he thought that this is the Gezerah, that this is, eventually it will be the Misa. So he fasted for 7 days, and then he saw Tkufas Teves, and the days started getting longer, and the next year he celebrated first of all the 7 days that led to it and the 7 days that went away from it, and who his intentions were, the Shem Shemayim, the Haim, and the nations of the world took over this time of the year, and they were miskavent avodah zarah. The idea is that the first days, the first set of 7 days, are the time where we're still in Kislev, and eventually it results in a gilui. Eventually it stops. The days getting shorter, that gzera stops, and we reverse it. The days start getting longer. And in Chodesh Tevis, what happens is, there's a tiny, virtually imperceptible change day by day. We can't see that we are building up the Geula, but that's what we are doing. That's why the bracha is in the Bnei Yerushalayim, is in the present tense. What we are doing is that we are building forwards, but it's a building that isn't obvious. It isn't nirah la'ayin. It's a building towards a geula that relies on lishu'os ha'kivisi Hashem, that relies on a time that Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden, but we know we take the makkah with which we are surrounded, and we create a keli through which to get through golus. And therefore we're told that Tzom HaRevi and Tzom HaChamishi, the four tzomes that were nigzar because of Churban, they will become times of Yom Tov, times of Simchat. Up to us. We can actually bring about the Geula. But that Geula will happen by understanding that the way forward is to take the Golus that we are in and live with it, not accept it, Chas v'Shalom. Not say, well, we're in Golus, what can you do? That's just the way, and Klal Yisrael will come to an end, Chas v'Shalom. But the opposite. To understand that within Golus there are kelim to bring about the Geula. Unlike Kislev, where we actually see the Geula, in Teves we build the Geula through the emunah of having had the Oyer at the beginning of the Chodesh, and even though we have the Makos of Ches, Tes, and Yud Teves, and even though Torah Shebichsav comes to an end, the Torah Shebalpeh, even through Machlekes, brings about not a confusion in Torah, but a growth in Torah and an eventual Geula itself.